Glory to his name.
Hallelujah.
I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I'm a kept man.
Right.
I love being kept by Jesus. The best part about it is even when I was a fool, he wouldn't let go. When I did all manner of madness, he held on to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I am thankful, happy, and joyous about that. Amen. Certainly we acknowledge the Godhead on today.
Bless your name.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, found, perfected in Jesus. To you, our brothers and our sisters, we salute you in the name of Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. Wasn't promised, and yet it's full of his promises. Wasn't guaranteed, and he guaranteed he'd be with us forever. I just thank him for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We're going to be brief, I believe. We'll see what it is the Lord has to say. I'm going to ask you to journey again with us to Romans chapter 8. Those two inspired passages of Scripture, verses 26 and 27. We're just going to look at those briefly as we move into the study of God's Word.
Amen.
Again, Romans 8, 26, 27. All who are able stand in reverence to the author of the Word. Amen. Word of the Lord reads from the King James Version of the Bible. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You may be seated in God's presence. Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you, God, on today. We come acquiescing and surrendering, God, to your will, your wisdom, and your way. We thank you, God, for how you have kept us for such a time as this. And so as we move forward, God, in the study of your word, we thank you that hearts and minds, God, have been prepared. The fallow ground has been broken, and the seed of your word, God, will then find receptive ground in our hearts. So speak to us and through us, God, that you're glorified, we're edified, and the devil is horrified, because we're moving forward, God, in you. So we thank you, we praise you, we honor and adore you. And Jesus, in your name, the saints of God said, praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Keeping those passages of Scripture in mind, from Romans 8, 26, 27, we just want to preach on today briefly, use as a subject for our consideration, and just share from the theme, I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no ghost. Now, the title of this sermon, I'm sure, evokes laughter because of its connection with a familiar 1970s movie called The Ghostbusters. And in that movie, three men and a woman attempt to rid a city of its ghosts who are wreaking havoc with the people. And most of the ghosts are demonic expressions of Satan himself. And so I remember thinking, even back then, when I was still yet crazy, how can anybody really find humor in that? But the reality is that most people, even Christians, don't believe in ghosts. We only believe in what we can see with our own eyes. And despite the fact that the Word says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, if we can't see it, it doesn't exist. That's the way we go forward. And that's why the Holy Ghost, who is the subject of our text today, has a hard time working in and through our lives. Because we keep looking for this visible manifestation of something going on. We want this Red Sea parting stuff happening, and we haven't allowed God to show us that we can just cross the Jordan. Bible records that on the day known as Pentecost, the Holy Ghost descended from heaven to earth. The same Holy Ghost that Jesus promised would come.
Yes.
The one that Jesus called the Comforter. But even through biblical records, and we see the arrival of the Holy Ghost coming, most Christians are reluctant to believe in his existence or his pre-isness, if you will.
All right.
Notice I said he and not it, because he's not it.
All right.
The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, is the third person in the Godhead.
Yes, he is.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if you're among doubters, then you shouldn't feel too bad, because there's a whole bunch of folks that don't believe in the Godhead of our Lord. The early Christians at Pentecost watched the Holy Ghost descend with conspicuous gifts of tongues and prophecies and gifts of healing and in very real, palpable demonstrations of his indwelling power, and they still refused to believe.
That's
you
right.
Remember some of the folks out there said, somebody been drinking, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, they already got their trunk on.
That's right.
I'm paraphrasing, it ain't in there like that, but that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
And yet it appears that a short time later, when Paul wrote this epistle to the Romans, they had already slumped into a denial of the Holy Ghost's presence.
Mercy.
You see, apparently when the visible fire and wind of Pentecost died down, so did their belief in an interceding spirit. Christians reject the Holy Ghost largely, I believe, because some have faked his presence.
Well, now...
See, who would want the Holy Ghost to take control if he makes you flop around in the church like you're having an epileptic seizure?
That's right.
Got you crawling under the pews like you're a little snake or something, or got you dancing crazy till your wig fall off. Don't nobody want Now, some of that may very well be involuntary expression, but much of it is our carnal need to outwardly prove what we're inwardly experiencing. We need to let folks know, or think we know, that they know that I got the Holy Ghost. See, I can't just live right.
Come on now.
I can't stop cussing. I can't stop drinking and doing drugs. I got to act crazy in church for folks to believe that I know the Lord and his spirit indwells me.
Well,
the world locks up people who are possessed.
Well,
we got a place right out here, Fort Logan.
That's right.
We call it possession. What it is actually is a mental illness, but we're not going to get into the DSM-4 kind of diagnosis today. But what happens is the world will lock up folks who are possessed, but God allows the Holy Ghost to possess us and set us free.
Yeah.
You see how he's always contrary to what the world is trying to do. In our text, Paul tells us just how God does this thing. Paul explains to the Romans and to those of us who are still baffled many, many centuries later that the Spirit of God indwells every believer as the source of true life, the Spirit of adoption. And this Holy Ghost witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost cooperates with us. Now, I don't mean agrees with our madness. I'm talking about he cooperates. He jointly operates with us.
Amen.
So that when things are going on and we give him the ability to make some decisions in our lives, then we understand when the Bible says that Jesus said, I'll send a helper, that's what he's come for, to help.
Amen.
Now, in the original Greek, the word that is referenced here suggests that he intercedes for us. He works in association with us. That's what he does. So just exactly what does the Holy Ghost do? Three little things, we'll drop them off the wagon and we'll be ready to go. Y'all see my little red wagon? First, the Holy Ghost works in and through us. Now, he does not work alone. We are part of his power process. You see, most of the hymns, I believe, got it wrong because they invite the Holy Ghost to come down and to fall fresh and to breathe on us. And the problem with all of that is the Holy Ghost is already here.
Yeah.
He was here before the hymn was written. He'll be here after the hymn is forgotten. They think they come up with something. We need to understand that he's new and fresh every morning.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And if you check the biblical record, you find out that he already breathed on us.
Yeah.
Didn't God say in the book of Genesis, he said, and then God And man became a living soul. That was the breath of the Holy Ghost coming into us. The trouble comes when we refuse to allow him to work through us. See, we imprison him like an unwanted guest relegated to the back room of the house. Have you ever had a relative come and they're supposed to stay for 2 or 3 days and it's 3 to 6, 9 months later and they still kicking it? And before you know it, because when you start out, you know, you'll give them your master room and let them kick it and hang out, and then pretty soon you move them to one of the kids' room, and before long you move them to the smaller kids' room, and pretty soon they're in the guest room, and before you know it, you gotta put them in the washroom. They've overstayed their welcome. They come in and you find somewhere to put them. Well, that's what we do with the Holy Ghost. We try to keep him locked up in the back room of our lives. And that's a shame, because the whole of the Spirit's work is wrought in our human spirit right here and right now. Verse 26 says that he expresses his presence with groanings which cannot be uttered. So even though we may not understand him, his groanings within us are fully understood by the one who searches the heart.
Hallelujah.
We are simply a team. The Holy Ghost speaks his voice through our heart. That's why it is vital for us to study his word. John 14, 26 says, and then the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which I have sent, will bring all things back to your remembrance. That's why I keep telling y'all, if you watch an Oprah eating bonbons, when you get in trouble, what you gonna remember? Oprah and bonbons. You got to be in the Word. You got to be in the Word to know what you're going to do when stuff comes up. And you can't make up your mind right at that second. That's why study is vital.
Amen.
Can you imagine my friends Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael being thrown in the burnt fire, thrown in the den of lions, and all of a sudden, the fiery furnace, thank you, Lord. All of a sudden, they're standing out here and somebody says, we finna throw y'all into the fire. And then all of a sudden, they need to make up their mind about what they're going to do. They're standing here saying, well, we can go in the furnace, we might burn up. Well, we can try to trust God, but I never trusted him before, so I'm not sure if I'm still going to burn up. So I need to make up my mind. You got to have your mind made up before you get to the furnace.
Wow. Yeah.
You can't walk up to the furnace, see the flames, and then decide you love Jesus.
Amen. Right.
Daniel would not have been able to grab that lion by the mane and go to sleep if he didn't love Jesus beforehand. That didn't happen on the spur of the moment. That's what study will do. It'll get us in a mindset to be able to go through trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the Holy Ghost lives in our longings. Now, in the verses just preceding our text, the Apostle Paul has been speaking about another groaning within ourselves. He calls it the earnest expectation of the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And Paul says that that longing will be more patient if it is full of hope. In other words, Paul is saying you can be waiting and anticipating and expecting something to happen, but you'll be able to bear it if you hope and understand that God never leaves or forsakes you. That sums up Paul's conception of what he believes to be the normal attitude of every Christian. We hope in Christ every minute of our earthly existence. As believers, as those who are endowed and indwelled and empowered with the Spirit of God, everything we do is based on our hope that one day, soon and very soon,
hallelujah,
Jesus is going to step through the eastern sky and take us up out of here.
Amen.
Yeah. I told y'all, we've been blessed. I go down, I try to look out the eastern window every morning to see if I can see him coming. Because I just be saying, excuse me, I know that's not grammatically correct, but I just be saying, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, it's time. How many of you, however, know that it's hard to keep up a good attitude with your own strength?
Amen.
See, life throws constant distractions at us, and they disturb the ability for us to continue in our hope hope. And instead of being hopeful, then these distractions and all of these things convince us to be satisfied with the dulled presence of the Holy Ghost. See, some folks say it's all right just to know he's there, but they don't want him to express himself. For instance, after work, you go to happy hour, what you doing in the first place, but you hanging out. And nobody wants to know that you love Jesus. In your office, wherever you are, you have to speak up. And you have to let the world know that you love the Lord and you're indwelled by his presence. And the reason you can't stand around when they're telling them stupid, ugly, nasty jokes is because the Spirit of the God is offended by that mess.
That's right. That's good.
I don't have no problem. I stay in trouble in my office, but... but I don't have any problem telling folks I love the Lord. And when the judges, then I'm in court with different folks, and the judges ask you to come to the bench and pray, then I know God is being manifested.
Amen.
And that's what this is about. All of our daily experiences convince us that it's not just possible to achieve a hope that is minute by minute, but rather it can be elevated above the thoughts that we have here and the limitations we're bound by. We have to look at this world from a heavenly perspective.
Yes.
Because remember, this is not our home. Mm-hmm. All of you have your green card. In some cases, it might be white with little things. It's called a driver's license or state issued ID. Because we're not citizens here. We're aliens in this place. We have a heavenly home. So I have to look at things from the perspective of where I really live.
All right.
I'm just hanging out down here. But to get to the point where we allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us, we have to know that we can't do it alone. There is help for our hope. And that help comes from the Holy Ghost, who steps up to the task and inhabits our weak and incomplete prayers. He knows our longings because he lives in them. And he strengthens those longings by his own direct intervention. See, there are times when the Holy Ghost's work becomes visible, even to us. You know, when our own anticipation and steadfastness recognizes a more than human response and imagination working in us, you know, when we're really trying to do the right thing, but then the Spirit of God works in and through us, and all of a sudden, we're doing the right thing and more. You know that ain't you. Excuse my aim, but that ain't you.
Amen.
I know it ain't me. Those are the times when our lives are too good not to be true.
Yeah.
You ever had any of those times?
Yeah.
When you are just working and you've just been wrapped up by the Lord and you know this is too good not to be true. This is better than a dream. You know that this has to be the Lord working some stuff out. Those are the times when we stop playing let's make a deal with God. When we stop choosing door number one, number two, or number three, and we let the Holy Ghost do the choosing.
Yes.
Those are the times when we let God, through his Spirit, open the door he wants us to go through, and then we simply walk in. Third, the Holy Ghost does what we cannot do. This is a good time to fully understand that God has all power. And I think I say this at least once a month, but again last night, because you know repetition is good for retention. During my time of study, I went over and got the Collegiate Interscholastic Dictionary and I looked up the word three little letters all, A-L-L. And as I'm going through this, and then I had to Google that to make sure that the dictionary was correct, and all simply means all. He has all power and he is in control. It's that simple. Now, I don't care how deep your longings are, they are incapable of full expression. See, we can try to use words, but language breaks down in its attempt to express our deepest emotions and our truest feelings.
Yeah.
That's why the inarticulate utterance of the Holy Ghost mm-hmm. is our most self-revealing yeah. moment.
Yeah.
That's when we know that when the Holy Ghost begins to have groanings and utterings, working to and speaking through us, then we know that we've gotten out of the way so God can have His way.
Hallelujah. That's good.
Take grief, just for an example. Grief can say more in a sob and a tear than 100 words could ever speak.
Yes.
Well, then how about love? We'll go to the other side of that. Love finds its voice in the light of an eye, the clasp of a hand, or the kiss of a lips. And these groanings that come out of the Christian soul can't be forced into the narrow framework of our human language. We find ourselves lost for words. That's why the biblical record tells us there's a heavenly language we need to work with.
Amen.
Now, I'm not... Well...
Come on now.
I heard it right here, just for a minute. I'm not talking about these babblings and all of this mess that these folk come up here and say, oh, I said about my name, whatever they be saying. I'm talking about a language that is between you and God. It does not have to be expressed outwardly. Only you and God are communicating. That's why I have a problem with Catholicism, because I got to go in the closet and talk to a man behind the curtain. He ain't the Wizard of Oz. My Bible tells me that I can go directly to God through Jesus. I don't need no man to come in and tell me to do 5 Hail Marys and rub some beads.
Okay.
Just because we find ourselves with these unutterable words does not mean our longings are invisible to the Holy Ghost. Now stay with me. It is in these precise moments that the Holy Ghost steps in.
Yes,
like the switch on the lamp, and He makes that spiritual connection for us. So the Holy Ghost works in us and through us, and He lives in our longings, and He does what we cannot do. But there's something else that we notice in the entire book of Romans. Paul is feverishly pleading his case on behalf of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's kind of like a defense attorney talking to a skeptical jury. And throughout the book of Romans, he makes some bold closing arguments. Just listen to a couple of them. He says, we cry, Abba, Father.
Yes.
We suffer with Him that we may be glorified with Him. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan within ourselves. We hope for that which we cannot see. Then do we with patience wait for it. See, that's the problem with some folks. They waiting and wanting stuff, and they ask God for something today, fully believing He should have given it to them yesterday before the request came, and there's no patience. I hear you, Isaiah. Isaiah said, just wait. He said, those that wait upon the Lord.
All right.
Just wait. That's all we got to do. Do what thus saith the Lord. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Neither death nor life nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Paul steadfastly believed that in all his rapturous and triumphant words, he was painting the familiar experience of every Roman Christian that would produce an amen on their lips. Mm-hmm. And if words are all it takes, then where are all the multitudes today who, hearing Paul's memorialized words, shout amen and hallelujah?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Even those who profess their faith sometimes act more like wandering travelers without a map than migratory birds convinced of their destination.
All right.
It amazes me when I watch National Geographic that they talk about the flight of the migrating birds and the migratory nature of these birds, and they make it sound like, well, they just flying over here, they gonna hang out in Colorado for 2 or 3 days because, you know, the weather is nice. They were gonna go down to Florida, but if way too hot down there, so they hung out here, and then instead of going, it's a plan, it's a purpose. They know exactly what they're doing. God has given these birds the ability to fly right to where they need to be, when they need to be there, so they can be nourished and kept. Just like when you see huge herds of antelope or wildebeest or buffalo or hippopotamus, whatever in the African plains, there's a plan to that thing.
Yeah.
They studied the elephants and found out that elephant troops have been going to the same place for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Because they know that's where they need to be to get the sustenance they need to continue. So we need to be more like those migratory creatures that God has. We need to go right to the destination He has planned for us. So thank God that the Holy Ghost works in and through us, in spite of our wandering. He searches our hearts, He knows the meanings of our longings, and senses the depth of our human spirit. But then He does something that no other can do. He steps up as our flawless interpreter. He stands in the gap and completes our partial expressions with a language that is heaven inspired.
Yeah.
Any of you who speak multiple languages, Shante, a couple of y'all might speak some other languages. I have a hard enough time with English, so I don't even try nothing else. But you know that when, in fact, the person that's doing the interpretation might not always have the word for what you just said.
Okay.
Because it might not be a word in the language that they're interpreting to that conceptualizes what you're trying to get across.
Yeah.
But the Holy Ghost, when His interpretation comes forth, there is no confusion between your intent and God's intent. God knows exactly what it is you are saying because it is God. Spirit that's doing the talking.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost delivers. If our prayers are weak, He strengthens them with His divine longing and turns our pathetic petitions into perfect praise.
Thank you, Lord.
God's way of giving to us is to breathe within us a desire and then to answer that desire in breathe to us by the aid of Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost. One day a little boy was flying his kite. It was real, real high. It was up out of sight. It had gone into the clouds in the sky. Man was passing this little boy. He said, "Son," the boy just standing here, he said, "Son, are you flying a kite?" The little boy said, "Well, yes, sir." The man said, "Well, I don't see a kite." He said, Are you sure that it's up there?" And the little boy said, "Well, sir, I'm sure it's there because every now and then I feel a pull on the string." You need to know that when things are going on, although you can't see it, if you just wait, you'll feel a pull on the string. Do you hunger after righteousness? That's the Holy Ghost pulling on your string and letting you know that God is up there and your bread is on the way.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you thirst for a closer walk with God?
Glory, hallelujah.
That's the Holy Ghost pulling on your string.
Yes.
And your living water is on the way because the Holy Ghost delivers.
Yes.
He delivers joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He delivers peace that passes all understanding. He delivers security from the rock of ages. He delivers support from those everlasting arms. He delivers assurance from the omnipresent one. He delivers strength from the omnipotent one. He delivers wisdom from the omniscient one. This is one ghost that we never have to fear. This Holy Ghost is designed to make things better in our lives.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
And we need to act like and begin to realize that God is real in every aspect of our lives.
Glory, hallelujah.
I don't care what you do it and how you do it.
Good work. Thank you, Jesus.
God is there. Somebody told me, I was in D.C. a week or two or whatever it was ago, and one of the guys that another pastor from Chicago, he said, "Man, the only time I actually get out and have a drink and smoke a cigar is when I meet y'all out here in D.C. or wherever we go." And I said, "Well, why? I don't do all that Tomorrow I might have some, what's that, grandma, yeah, in my coffee, isn't that? Well, it was only a half a teaspoon I found out. Since my wife fixes it, but. And I asked him, I said, well, who are you trying to hide from? He said, well, I can't have the people in Chicago and in the church seeing me like this. I said, man, you human. And I can guarantee you that God already knows. And it does not matter about hiding from these folks. These folks have no heaven or hell to put you in.
That's right.
But you need to be real. So if you're going to smoke a cigar, go to the golf course and smoke a cigar. Or whatever, wherever you smoke. But we've got to get away from this craziness that we can hide from folks. If nobody in the face of the earth ever finds out what somebody has done, God knows.
Amen. That's right.
And that's the one we need to deal with. Yeah. So the Holy Ghost is given to empower us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us through all the things that God would have us to do. So I don't know about you, but many, many years ago, I was probably the biggest fool in the universe. If not the biggest, I had to be number two. And God, even still, in the midst of my madness, even still kept me. When I was doing things that no sane person should do, well, I guess that just summed it up. Couldn't have been any sanity in me for the stuff that I was doing. But God kept me. And he just kept on blessing me. And it was the power of his Holy Spirit that kept me out of some of the stuff. So as we stand today for invitation, we want us to think about the indwelling power of God's precious Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes to bring wisdom and guidance and direction. The Holy Spirit comes to make sure that we stay on the straight and narrow path. The Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction. See, here's the thing. Folks think that God brings guilt in our lives. God does not bring guilt. Guilt paralyzes. God brings conviction because conviction gives us the ability to look at this thing, to do our pleading and repenting and praying before God, and then do that metanoia, that turn, that change that makes a difference in our lives. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us to help us keep us straight. So today, if you got some things going on, you don't have to confess nothing up in here. But you need to just say, Lord, I repent, because he knows. And we allow him to have his way. If all today you want to stand in the gap for a friend or a loved one, Lord has placed on your heart to intercede for somebody, this is your opportunity. Come forward now and allow the Spirit of God to share those things that you can't bring out. There's a neighbor, a co-worker, family member, stand in the need of prayer. This is your time to allow God to come and use you as that intercessor. One of the things that we learn, you know, I've heard folks say a lot of times in their prayers, God, please go to the hospital, God. Please go to the jail. You can't send him where he already is.
Right.
Wherever you are, God is. And he's the same God, y'all know this light of the world, in Denver, Detroit, Dallas, and Denmark. And he's the same all the time, at the same time, while he's there doing that. New Jersey, Newark, and New Guinea. New Zealand, and New England. He's the same. It does not matter. Wherever you are, he is.
All right.
And we've got to get away from this. God, go to the prison. I'm so... Thank God for those who have come. Thank God for those who have just now standing in the gap. For those who are standing in the gap friends and loved ones. We're going to ask you to share with us what God has put on your heart so that we can pray with you, pray for you, rejoice with you, shout with you. If you break out in a run for the Holy Ghost, I'm right behind you. Because whatever it is that God has given one, we need to all share in that experience. So we thank God for those now who have come.
Now praise to God. I first come thanking God for His leading, His guiding, and His truth. I was targeted, you know, by the enemy in an area that I used to be in when I was a child, and it hadn't come back up since I had given myself back to God. And I was starting to go the wrong way with what I was being told about myself. And I come thanking God that He was patient and He held on to me and kept me from believing the lie. And I had come in repentance for allowing myself to be distracted for as long as I was. And I come asking God for to reconcile the time I lost in being drawn closer to Him, the time I could have spent studying His Word and getting more truth, I spent seeking out what man had to say. I also come standing in the gap for Angela. She had a stroke and my heart hurt because